I have been preaching for nearly 3 decades now, and there is a sense that the longer I am at it, the less I understand about preaching. For it seems to me when it comes to sermons, people just really don't listen. More than that, people really don't hear. There are just these vast obstacles to communication. The skeptical modern world, scientific empiricism, attention deficit disorder, menopause, sin. I work on a sermon, I do my homework, and then I stand up here and for about 15 minutes I thrash about, I gesture from the torso, I use a bunch of sappy illustrations from my childhood, and you don't hear. Even though there are lights in my eyes, I can see enough to know you are not hearing. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to make it work. I use various techniques, various forms and strategies. It's hard to say the things of God. You know from your own experience, it's very hard to speak of God. How do you speak in a way that people not only hear about God, but actually experience God, are brought to God? Because that's what a sermon ought to be. Luther said, the preached word of God is the word of God. And that's hard. People don't hear. But sometimes you do. People irrefutably, undeniably hear. I think that's why so many of you keep coming back. Because here, having had lightning strike you once, you come back, hoping it will strike you again. You come here distracted, confused, unfocused, shuffling in here, and then despite everything, despite all the perfectly good communicative human reasons against it, you hear. One of the things that annoys me about you, even more than your lack of hearing, I have got to admit this, are those occasions when I preach a sermon, and I meant it to be a good sermon. It would have been a good sermon if I'd have taken a month off and worked every day on that sermon. I could have worked that up into a really good sermon. It was poorly illustrated, badly supported, turgid, opaque, and that sort of sermon just doesn't work. And then I finish thrashing around and the liturgy comes to a close and I meet you at the door and you are grasping my hand and you look into my eyes and you have tears in your eyes and you say, how did you know? That sermon, I really experienced God. And I want to say to you, look, I do this professionally. I've got the manuscript. That was not a sermon. Why is it that despite my worst efforts, why did you hear? It wasn't I who pulled back the veil between you and God. No, not me. Why did you hear? I know a priest who took a sabbatical. He didn't read books. He didn't write books. He decided to go around to other churches and listen to sermons. And I talked to him after his 30-sermon sabbatical, and I asked him, what did you hear? He said, I heard this. It's a miracle that anybody ever hears anything. And yet you do. That's a miracle. The great philosopher Pascal, in his Pensées, one of the greatest minds that ever lived, analytical, careful, probing, searching, frustrated for answers, and then one night he writes in his diary, not the God of the philosophers, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Fire! Fire! If so great a mind as Pascal could not think his way up to God, and so the living God had to climb down to him, inflame him, there is not access to God except that provided by God. In today's gospel, it's another day at the river. John the Baptizer is doing what he does, baptizing people. He's washing people up. He's getting people ready for the Messiah. Some Jews practice these ritual washings, these baptisms, as a sign of preparation for the coming Messiah. Messiah's coming, John preached. Get ready. Someday, sometime, some way, Messiah is coming. People, Luke says, were filled with expectation. John didn't say, Messiah is here. He said, Messiah's coming. Just going through the motions, expecting the Messiah. In the middle of his sermon, people interrupt him. Are you the Messiah? John says, no, I'm not the Messiah. I can't even tie his shoelaces. He is mightier than I. I tell you, I wash up with water. He's going to wash you up with fire. He's going to purify you. He's going to burn away all your impurities. He will be God among us, wind, fire. I just wash you up. He is going to burn you up. You see, there's a great difference between expecting the Word of God and, like, getting it. There is a difference between anticipating the possibility of the advent of the Messiah and experiencing the very presence of the Messiah. Well, John is out there baptizing. He's going through the motions. Next, wade in the water, stoop down. Next, wade in the water, stoop down. Next. It's just a ritual. And then this one from Nazareth shows up. And the heavens are ripped open. And this great dove descends, a spirit, a voice. It's the Bible way of saying God was present. That dove that hovered over Jesus at baptism is surely meant to remind us of that spirit, that wind that hovered in Genesis 1 over the chaos of the dark waters and brought forth life. See, Luke is saying it's not the baptism of Jesus. It's like a whole new world is being created, a world being recreated after nothing by this breath. We've begun year C in the lectionary. That's the year of Luke. That means all year long we are going to have gospel lessons from Luke. And Jesus in Luke can be kind of enigmatic. Jesus in Luke can be evasive. He tells these little stories, but a lot of them, they're hard to understand. They don't seem to have an ending. They don't seem to have a point. These parables, not many people get who he is. But right here at the first story, here the veil is pulled back, and we are given a glimpse all the way into heaven. This dove descends, this voice. Hey, listen, you're my beloved son. The voice isn't directed to us. It's like we're here overhearing a conversation between father and son, a conversation deep within the heart of the Trinity. It's enough. I want you to note that the voice comes from heaven. It's not a voice that comes from earth. It's not a voice like the ones we are most conditioned to hear, like the voices that arise from within, not the kind of voices that come from our infantile background, the damage your mother did to you during the latent period, baggage left over from your adolescence, some reflux of the indomitable human spirit. It's not a voice not psychologically, sociologically, anthropologically derived. It's a voice from heaven. It's from God. It's a miracle. I don't know how many heard that voice that day at Jesus' baptism. I'm glad that somebody heard it, heard the voice, saw the dove, felt the fire, and had the guts to tell it. Because maybe that means that we, though sorely limited and constrained by our modern epistemologies, maybe we might be open to such a voice and such a sign and have the guts to go with it. In just a short time, we're going to baptize somebody. We're going to baptize a baby. Now, why do we baptize babies? They don't ask to be here. They don't have any choice in the matter. A baby cannot believe the Apostles' Creed. A baby can't obey the Ten Commandments. That makes a baby completely and utterly dependent upon the grace of God, to do for that baby what the baby can never do for herself or himself. In other words, if these promises of baptism are going to be true, if this baby is ever going to get with God, it will have to be God. It will take God. It will be a miracle. And at no matter what age we baptize any of you, we make that same promise. Everybody here, no matter how smart or perceptive you are, you require a voice, a heavenly aperture, or you don't get it. One who has attended the Church of St. Michael and St. George for decades told somebody else that you have not understood one sermon in 100 in all those month of Sundays. The man keeps coming back Sunday after Sunday and doesn't understand anything. Why do you keep coming? Because you explained years ago in a sermon, all right, it was by a guest preacher, but in a sermon, fire, the heavens opened. It was like a dove descended. God got so close to you, you could feel the hair on the back of your head standing up. What a good reason to be here. I can't preach. I can't conjure God's word for you. Forgive me for attempting to explain Jesus when I attempt somehow to argue you into the faith. I can't. Because when revelation, recognition happens, it's about God. It's a miracle. It comes from heaven. I'm saying that the baptism happened something like Luke described it. Luke captures the very essence of it. But whether it was a literal dove or not, I don't know. Whether it was an audible voice or not, I don't know. I think the fire might well have been figuratively. I'm not saying that strange visions like this happen every day. I am saying that this story did happen, will happen to you. We are getting ready to have communion. You're going to come forward. We're going to hand you a piece of bread. We're going to give you a sip of wine. And we will say, this is the very body and blood of Christ. This is the presence of Christ. And you will chew on it and say, you know, I'm sorry, I don't get it. And we'll say, we'll come back next week. We can't do it for you. It's a gift. So, you're being baptized. You're taking a bath. You're taking a break. Or you're listening to a sermon. Or you're just sitting there staring off into space about nothing. And just when you thought you had your world all safe and silent, the once hushed heavens open, a voice inexplicable but undeniable, a great bird swoops, wind, and you, despite all your reasonable reservations, dare wade into the deep, dark water and fire.